Last week, I ended, we were talking about, and I want to go back to that third chapter of Malachi when he's talking about the priest. I want to go back there. There in I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Say, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Then it says this, "But who may abide in the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and full of soap." And this is what he's going to do. "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord offering in righteousness." All right. I said a few things to you the other day, and I want to make sure that, you know, I show you scripture that validate, you know, what I was saying to you, or talking to you about. So we talked about how God is going, he's going to purge these priests. And I told you that, you know, in the Old Testament, the prophet, they didn't have New Testament terminology. So, but he's talking about Christians. He's talking about the church. All right. And so in order for us to really become who God has called us to be, there's going to have to be some cutting away. There's going to have to be some things that God's going to cut all the fat off us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, everything, all the weight that's holding us back. But the thing about it is we have to cooperate with God's dealing, because if we don't, then we'll just stay in the same predicament that we're in. Now, Apostle, what he was saying tonight about how God is raising up a generation that he's going to use and that recognize God's order. And see, that is what is so important, because how God has set things up is how we're going to have to relate to it. And if when we don't, then we're not going to see full manifestation the way God wants to see it. So that means that there's going to have to be some purifying. There's going to have to be some refining. All right. So now in Isaiah 48 and 10, this is what the prophet Isaiah said. He said, God says, "I have refined you, but not in the way of silver or gold is refined." You know, I share with you how silver and gold is refined. But God saying, "I'm not going to do you that way, but I got another way. But it's going to have the same effect." Because what God is trying to do is God is trying to get us to operate out of a pure heart. You with me? So if our hearts are hard through the deceitfulness of sin, then we're going to lose our sensitivity to the Spirit of God. We're not going to be able to hear God's voice. And it's so important to hear the voice of God. And this is one thing that we as this new generation that God is raising up, we're going to have to do. We are going to have to learn how to hear the voice of God. And when we hear the voice of God, we're going to have to learn how to not be second guessing. Well, I wonder if that was really God told me that. Yes. See, when you spend time and commune and fellowship with God, you'll begin to become keen and sensitive. As God began to start purifying your hearts, and you become sensitive to his voice, super sensitive to his voice. And so one thing that I've many things that I've learned from Apostle, but one thing that I really learned from Apostle is how to really pursue God. And God asked me a question one time. It's been some years ago. God said, "Who taught you how to seek me?" Because we all learn from somebody. Y'all with me? Okay. But you could have learned from somebody who you never even saw seeking God. You never really got a chance to see how they take time and they're consistent with their prayer life. They're consistent in their study life. They're consistent seeking God. I'm not talking about one thing that Apostle taught us years ago was, as a minister, you don't study to preach. You study to live, and you preach out of the overflow of what you live in. So this is what God is doing and working out, getting these impurities and that kind of thing out of us. So this is what Isaiah said. Watch this, what he said. He said, I have refined you, not in the way of gold or silver is refined. Rather, I refined you in the furnace of suffering. So, and that's New Living Testament. And the furnace that he uses us is afflictions, hardships, or sufferings, not a literal fire. You with me? So now, then Peter confirms this in 1 Peter 6 and 7. In the New King James Version, it says this: "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been," what he said, "you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So there is a, you know, God is always trying to separate us from the impurities that's in our life. And we all have something. You know, you can act like you parachute out of heaven if you want to, but we all got something that God is always trying to do something in us, always trying to get something out of us. He's always trying to, you understand? But we have to understand that if you're going to use me, then I'm going to have to yield. I know that there's some things about my character that's not pleasing to you. And so I am going to have to surrender to your dealing. So that's time when God will allow you to go through trials. And you can be rebuking the devil all you want. All you want. You can rebuke Satan. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And he said, God said, you can't rebuke me. I'm allowing you to. You understand what I'm saying? So because God's trying to get us to a place to where our faith in him is so to the point to where I don't care what it looks like. This is what he's promised me. And so I'm not caught up in ego. I'm not caught up in who I am, but I'm caught up in who he is. Hallelujah. So I wanted to make sure that I kind of got you to see, because see, all right, let me throw this in here while I'm saying this. Now, because I've heard people say that, well, you know, I'm suffering for the Lord's sake. You know, they're sick and stuff. God ain't put no sickness on you.
That's right.
God ain't put no sickness on you. No. All right, okay, all right. Let me see if I can't really make you see it. Okay. How can God put something on you that he don't have?
Right, that's right.
Come on. Okay, all right. So let's just say that you think that God put sickness on you, all right? So why are you going to the doctor? If that's the will of God for your life, why are you trying to get out of the will of God? So you even got enough sense to know that they ain't God's will. All right. So the trials and the tests and the things that we go through where. And I told you, whenever you're going through a trial or a test, the worst in you start coming out. The Lord said, that's what I'm talking about right there. Yeah. See how you flare up every time. Every time you going through a trial or something. See, but you got to admit. It ain't my boss. It ain't my spouse. It's not the white man. It's not. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot use all these excuses.
Right.
You got to know that this is me. This problem that I have. This is my problem.
Yes.
And I need to do something about it. And so God is not going to really be able to use us until we get to that point. All right. So I want to go to the second chapter. Fashion. By God to fulfill destiny, fashioned by God. And see, this is continuing what he was talking about in the first chapter there. So chapter 2, it opens with Apostle Jonathan David sharing revelation from a prophetic vision that he had. It says, God is fashioning a new generation on the earth. It's a generation which he is fashioning with his own hands and thrusting them with all his power to bring what he began to completion. So God is not going to be able to trust us with power unless we come to the place where we're allowing God to break us. It's not something popular. It's not something that people want to hear. But if you're going to be able to accomplish the things that God has placed in your life for you to accomplish, that's got to be a broken. I said whenever they use horses in war, until that horse is broken, he is no good. He can be more physical. He can be more gifted than the horses that's already on the field. But until he gets to the point to where when guns are shot, some kind of loud noise is made and he don't cut up and buck and go on and stuff. He has to get to the place to where he understands the mission of the rider. And he submitted to the rider. You understand what I'm saying? And until that happens, he is no good for war.
Come on, come on.
He's no good for the battle. So until we get to the point to where it's not our will, but it's God's will, we are no good to God. We are no good to God's service. Praise God. Hallelujah. So again, talking about taking a look at some distinctive features of this finishing generation of breakthrough believers. Number one, they have stature to represent God. Secondly, they have power to execute his word. Thirdly, they are prepared for the future. Fourthly, they are free from the past. And fifth, they are people movement for kingdom advancement. So now, first of all, they are, let's go through them now. First of all, they have stature to represent God. Now, the first feature this generation will reveal is that they have grown in stature to fully represent God. That's what Apostle was talking about tonight. He was talking about how the fivefold ministry gifts, their purpose is to mature the saints, right? But we have to make sure that the apostle and prophet is in place so that God can do exactly what he needs to do. So, like I said last week, I am not an apostle, but I am an apostolic pastor.
That's right. Yes.
So I am operating under the government of God, under the government of an apostle. So what's on apostle? Is on my life.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yes, yes, indeed. Yes. Glory to God. And guess what?
Mm.
It's working.
Yes.
It's working. It's working. It's working. Lord, have mercy. Is it working? What? You got time? I can tell you, man, it is something, man. This is the thing, the apostolic, when people are really trained right, because they've had so many, anything that God has, Satan can always imitate it.
Yes. Yes.
And so because there have been so many cults and that kind of thing and stuff, people think that whenever there's structure and whenever there's government, people think that, you know, well, this must be some kind of cult.
Right.
No, 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 no. When the leader understands who he is,
yes,
in Christ. And the leader, the way you're going to know if the leader knows who he is in Christ, because he's going to always be giving God the glory.
That's right.
Always giving God the glory. He knows that there's nothing that I can do. There's nothing I can do without Christ. But when somebody put themselves on a pedestal like they're Christ, you better run. You better take off running. You understand? So when we understand, man, really how to function under an apostle. And so God has taught me over the years a lot about sonship. How to walk with my spiritual father. You understand? And so There have been men who criticized me, men who laughed at me, and that sort of thing. So I told you last week about, you know, the guy on the plane. You know, he's trying to belittle because I'm following my apostle. You know, I don't have all these preaching engagements and stuff because I can't have my schedule conflicting with apostles. Right. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, so I have enough responsibility at my church.
Yes,
than to be talking about going. And so most folk doing a whole lot of that, that's for extra income.
Right. Yes. That's true.
But if God, following the apostle, God is meeting all my needs.
Hallelujah.
What do I have need to go and look for an engagement?
Right.
Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. So, if I tell y'all, man, I've had letters, money come in the mail from Alaska. I'm telling you the truth. I just enjoy your ministry. What?
Hallelujah.
That's because of who I'm following, man.
Yes. Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I have people that email me all the time from over in Africa and different places and stuff, saying I want to be connected. And I tell them, I say, well, go to EIWM ministry and get connected with apostle.
That's right.
Yes. 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 See.
Yes.
See,
yes.
See, some people look for a platform.
Right.
See, I'm not using what God, see, people look for an engagement, they look for to network with people and that sort of thing and stuff. But when you really understand sonship, I'm about the business of my Father. I'm about whatever it is that God has given the apostle. My job is to help him to do what he's been called to do.
Right.
And so what you going to do about your ministry, Pastor? God raising up people to help me do what he called me to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's not going to happen until we understand government, until we understand how God has to get this ego out of us and has to get this competitive spirit out of us. God has to get us to a point to where everything depends on him. And we look to him for everything. Are y'all with me here? All right. So I want to look at something. I want you to see this. All right. So I said the first feature of this generation to reveal is that they have grown in stature and fully represent God, to fully represent God. They are no longer a desolate nation or a destitute people, nor are their prayers despised. 3D, desolate, destitute, and despised. They are no longer that. They are finding their place of favor before God.
Yes.
And see, when you understand that God is, everything depends on him, you're no longer looking to yourself for things. So, okay, watch this. All right. The favor of God began to come on you. All right. Because of who you're following,
yes. The
favor of God that's on their life. And see, people can't understand that. People say, well, I'm anointed. Nobody say you weren't anointed.
Right.
Y'all with me? Nobody say that you weren't anointed. But you have to understand that God has placed somebody in your life to speak into your life, and that's something that's on their life that's going to come on your life.
Yes.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So, sound gone?
No, sir. Your jacket was rubbing against me.
Okay.
That should be good.
All right. Sorry. All right. So, now, statue is the position of favor obtained in God as we yield to the dealings of God in our lives until he finds us a trustworthy steward who will represent him fully. What? That's one thing, man. We got to come to a point to where, we say we trust God, but God's saying, can I trust you? Can I trust you? Are you trustworthy? So God wants us to be trustworthy stewards. Because when favor is on your life, guess what? I'm gonna be straight out with you. Whole lot of money gonna be coming too.
Yes.
But you got to learn how to be a good steward.
Yes.
or what God, you understand what I'm saying? So you have to be able to, watch this, listen to the voice of God as it relates to your giving.
Yes.
Oh, shucks. Praise the Lord. I tell about how, you know, the first time that God, you know, I had been given, you know, I give $100 every now and then, but God told me to give $1,500 one time. It's been some years ago, and I had never gave that before. And so I told my wife, I said, God spoke to me, said, to give $1,500. So she looked in her ledger and stuff. She said, that's all we got. I said, well, praise the Lord. I didn't know. That's what he said. Let me have it. She threw it to me. She said, I said, write a check. She said, you write it. Just threw it to me. And so we began. This is the God on his truth. This is God on his truth. God told me to write the check. And at the time, I was living in a 2-bedroom house. And I went and looked for a house, and everybody turned us down, that kind of thing and stuff. So we were looking. I mean, God told me to sow the seed. So I did. And so on the way home, my wife, she had a boot in her mouth, you know, going down the road. So I said, what's wrong, baby? Say, ain't nothing wrong. I said, well, just shut up then. Don't run your mouth. Don't run your mouth. Don't mess up what the Lord is doing here. And I don't know. I don't know how long it was. It wasn't long that matter of fact, when I sold it, it said, tell them heathen to get out your house. So I sold. I mean, right after I sold the seed, God had told me, say, tell the seed. I'm on my way back to the seed. Say, tell the heathen to get out of your house. I said, heathen, get out of my house.
Right.
Guess what? I mean, God supernaturally give us a house that we wasn't qualified for. We never qualified for it. We didn't. But what happened was, see how favor works. This man, he and his wife were going through a divorce. And she had got a boyfriend off the internet, moved him in the house. Mm-hmm. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay half of the down payment, mm-hmm, which going to qualify me, yes, and my wife to get in there. Yes, so the Lord bless us. So we get in. And so my wife said, oh, the Lord sure is blessing. I said, no, the Lord is blessing me. The Lord is blessing me. The Lord is blessing me. And this is just a little side journey here. When God really started dealing with me about stewardship and stuff, I had to sit down and talk to my wife.
Yes.
Because sometimes you can have a revelation, but unless you communicate that revelation to your spouse,
they're
going to say, well, hold on, where you going with this? Why are you going with that? So God showed me why I had to share with her what he was saying to me, share with her. And so one thing you can't argue with the results.
Right.
So when she started seeing the results, she knew, she said, he ain't just saying this. The Lord is talking. You see what I'm saying? And so she got to the point to where, she said, the Lord said, do this. I said, let's do it, baby. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the thing about it, you had to get to a point where you become a good steward, and you're not selfish. You're not just thinking about yourself.
Yeah.
What happens when God tell you to bless somebody?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So we went. So God got to find you trustworthy, and you're going to represent him fully.
Yeah.
And be bestowed with the necessary grace, provision, and wisdom to finish kingdom purposes here on earth. There has to be a grace. That's even a grace in your giving.
Yeah.
There's a supernatural grace. I cannot tell you how I give what I give. I can't. It's just a supernatural grace.
Yeah.
Now, y'all... there is, I know some of y'all from World Shakers, some of y'all from here, or wherever you from, don't you dare sit under this anointing that's on apostle, amen, and don't prosper.
Come on,
yeah.
Come on. Come on.
You're going to do yourself a disservice,
yes,
to come here and sit under this kind of anointing and don't prosper.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I came home the other day, and somebody done slipped some under my garage. Just $1,500, that's all it was, but they just slipped in the garage. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Say, I, you know, So I got a gate around my house, so they went through the center gate and got it. And I said, well, I they didn't want to put it in the mailbox because it was cash. I said, okay, praise the Lord. That's okay. That's all right. You know, put it wherever you can get in the yard. I had one. Look, let me tell you something. This is the truth. I'm talking about following somebody's anointing and having a grace upon your life. One day I come to the house and the newspaper is over. It's not where it used to be outside the fence. It's over and inside the fence. So I pick it up and it has $100 in there and it has a pastor card in there. He wanted me to call him, so I called him, and he said, God told me that he wanted to do some things for me. He said for me to bring you this $100.
All right, all right.
I said, all right, praise the Lord. See, the thing about it is, y'all listen to me now. Just because somebody bless you, I don't need to be his friend.
That's right.
That's right.
I don't need to have a conversation with him every week. See, sometimes people try to get close to people that's going to do something for them.
Right.
Manipulate.
Yeah.
No. See, then you're trying to make something happen yourself. Right. That's a grace. That's a grace. That's on. So, all right. Now, let me look at this statue a little bit more. Statue is different from status, as is only obtained by God's approval and attested to us by God's supernatural provision and grace. Supernatural provision. God will cause things to happen in your life beyond anything you can explain.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I have seen such great manifestations. I've seen Apostle gave us a word today. Well, he did say that the Lord gave it to everybody that was connected to him, but I don't know if I got the liberty to give it. I ain't saying nothing. Statue is praise. I got sense. Yeah, praise the Lord. So it's God's approval, supernatural provision, and grace. Status, on the other hand, can be easily given by man to man. So statue is different than status. For example, Elijah found the favor of God, God's presence. The word of the Lord was in his mouth, was powerful as the word that was in the Lord's mouth, the Lord God's mouth. Now that's powerful. When you begin to start speaking, and your word is like God's word coming forward, because when you speak, things happen.
Yes.
Let me tell you, this was just one instance. We were in Tennessee or something. We were there was a storm that was, I mean, man, they people was leaving from where we was, and we were in the RV park. And people were leaving because they was going into safe haven and stuff, because they said there was a storm that was coming that way. And man, here we are. We out here, man. It got real dark. Man, you see the cloud coming. You see the funnel cloud. And a pastor stands up and he said, oh, no, you can't come here.
Hallelujah.
He said, you can't come here. And I mean, so do you know that all of a sudden that black cloud lifted?
Amen.
I said, boy, I like the company I keep. I said, I like the company I keep. I mean, just spoke to it. And I'm telling you, when you see it coming like we saw it coming.
Yes.
And see, that was training for me.
Hallelujah.
That if you spend enough time with God,
yes,
fellowship with God,
yes,
you can speak. And it's just like God speaking.
That's right.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Even the elements start obeying you.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Ooh-wee. Praise the Lord. So Elijah found favor in God's presence. The word of the Lord was in his mouth, powerful as God's word. The word in God's mouth. The elements of the earth responded to him as they were due to God.
Amen.
Look at 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17 chapter. I say, but man, we could get this lesson out if he stopped talking about apostle this here. Look, let me tell you something. If you get an opportunity to minister in your pastor's church and you don't mention him, you don't need to get up there no more.
That's right.
Because you need to always be letting people know that what I'm teaching you, this is where I got it from. This is where I came from. I don't have no new revelation. I'm not trying to do my own thing. I'm just doing. Let me tell you. See, one of the things how you really understand sonship is through principle, right? Okay. So Jesus said this about the Heavenly Father. Jesus said, I just do what I see my Father do.
Yes.
Come on. So we say, you know, well, we just do what we see our Father do. Okay, watch this. God gave us a spiritual father so we can watch and be trained. See, I try to talk to a lot of folk about this, and they can't handle it, man. They can't handle it. Man, God gave me my own anointing. Go ahead on with your bad self. Go ahead on with your bad self. Go ahead on, you know. You're gonna turn the world upside down, you know, because you have such a great anointing. Ain't nobody even want to hear you. Well, I tell you, First King 17. Verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be a dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. According, what you mean by your word? It's the word that the Lord gave him. So the word that was in his mouth was just like God's mouth. And that's the way we have to become. See, we have to become people of stature. When I think about stature, I think about liberty. I think about the Statue of Liberty. I think about how liberty is the same all the time.
Right.
Liberty don't change.
Right.
I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if birds all over pooing on their face. Liberty is still the same.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? So we have to get to a point where we understand that God is doing something in us. God is molding us. He's making us. He's doing something. And we have to be consistent and steadfast in what God is doing in our life. You with me? Because if not, we can't be in and out, in and out, in and out. And that's what a pastor is trying to teach us, how to be people who walk in with power. That when you get up to minister, people lives changing.
Right. Yes.
It's not just words coming out of folk mouth, but people are something happening on the inside of them.
Yes.
And you getting a hold of when you stand up, when you begin to start saying things, I can speak and it could happen just like if God was speaking.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right. Watch this. So Joshua also knew such a stature before God, in that his oath taken over Jericho was honored to full in full measure by God. Look at Joshua 10. Yeah. Joshua 10. Man, when you speak, something's supposed to happen. See how y'all. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. No, you supposed to have. See, everything that you hear, you're supposed to mix it with faith. And you have the ability. Listen to me. That's times when we're following God and things look like they're not manifesting. You can't get shook up by that.
Yes, right.
You can't get shook up by what you see. You got to. And so that's why you can't be wishy-washy. You can't be one minute, you know, well, I believe the Lord said, then the next minute. No, this is what the Lord has said.
Right.
And because this is what God said, this is what I proclaim. And guess what? Things start happening.
Yes.
All around you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Joshua 10 and 14. And there was no day like that before or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man that the Lord found in Israel. God hearkened to this man's voice. And so that's the same way it should be with us. When we say something, God come on the scene. God said, wait a minute, it's just like I'm talking. So, see, this is where the process got to come in at. This is why we got to allow God to fashion us.
Yes.
This is why, you know, the refining got to take place. Because God is looking for a vessel that he can use, that he can get glory out of. And see, when things start happening, you can't be jumping up talking about, I'm some great and mighty mind of God. God said, go set your behind down somewhere, because I'm not going to be able to use you, because you're going to try to take the credit for this. No, you ought to always give God the glory.
Yes.
One thing that apostles teach us is to always give God the glory in everything.
Yes.
Everything. Always give him the glory in everything. Hallelujah. And he did like he said tonight, he don't play no games. You're not going to come around him living in any kind of way.
Right.
Oh, no. He going to catch you.
Right.
What? Look, I've seen it firsthand. I seen these guys, man, they trying to play games. They're going to come in here. They're going to join the association and stuff. They're going to play games. Man, look. Man, messing around and stuff. Apostle say, you sleep with a woman? I said, no, I don't sleep. He said, you're lying. I said, whoa, man, my knees are buckled. You know what I'm saying? He said, you're lying. The man said, no, I never slept. He said, you're lying. He said, the anointing that's in my life telling me that you're lying. And so the man said, well, we kissed. He said, you're lying. It's more than kissing. Man said, well, it was one time. He said, it was more than one time. It don't went from nothing. And look, I'm telling you, I say, man, my goodness. Praise the Lord. Look, it was, apostle wasn't like, you sure you don't have a woman? No, he was, you sleeping with this woman.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. You play around that anointing if you want to. So that didn't only happen once. Had this other guy that won't play a game. And so apostle said, look, y'all give him around me. I don't want this kind of stuff around me.
Right.
Y'all not going to contaminate my anointing.
Right.
And then you're going to have people thinking that this is what I stand for.
Right.
Go from me.
That's right.
Hey, send them out. Send them down the road. Praise the Lord. And so if anybody that's around him that's thinking about it, it won't be a thought long. I'm telling you. But he, just like he said, might not catch you today.
Yeah.
Might not catch you tomorrow. But I'm going to catch you.
That's right.
God going to reveal it to him.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, I mean, you know, I believe like the Lord. I feel like the Lord really loved me.
Yes,
yeah, I do. I feel like I'm special.
Because
yes, the Lord sent me to send an apostle.
Yes, sir.
I really do. I really do. Praise. I really do. Glory to God. I really do. So, second thing is, they have power to execute his word. This finishing generation is made to bring the word of God into fulfillment. Everything that has been spoken about them will be fulfilled in them. See, we're going to walk out. We're going to walk it out. This generation will be the living proof of the reality of the preceding word that goeth forth. That word that proceeded out of my mouth, not going to return void. That word, that preceding word, the Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That preceding word, that word that's coming out of God's mouth, that's what we're living by. That's what we're walking by.
Yes.
They will walk the talk. They're not just going to talk it, but you're going to see them walking it out. There will be the demonstration of what has been spoken. They will walk prophecies into fulfillment. They will bring the promises of God into reality and the commandments of God into execution. Psalms 102 and 18. This will be written for the generation to come. They were talking about us way back then. That a people not yet created may praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now, when we carry that preceding word inside our hearts and fulfill it and bring it into reality, see, another thing that Apostle has taught us, you know, you got to start off believing, right?
Yes.
But at some point, you have to know.
Right.
You have to know. You have to know. It's just like, I don't have to believe that you're sitting in front of me.
Right.
I know it. You know what I'm saying? So we can't just, I believe. No, it has to be come to a time where you begin to know, you know, and my time is up. Praise the Lord. All right. So the test will not be on anything that you didn't hear. But everything that you heard, you better... You may need to go over your notes because now, you know, we don't give hard tests, but we just want to make sure that you're getting it.
Yes,
praise the Lord. Amen. So. Y'all need to. I finna say if you're not doing nothing Thursday and Friday, but you don't need to be doing nothing Thursday and Friday. Come to World Shakers, man, because I'm telling you, it's going to be something in there. It's going to be something in the house. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.